Well, good morning once again. Just wanted to take a couple of moments and once again express my thanks to Ryan and the council for opening up the pulpit this morning. Also, you're going to probably want to play Dutch bingo, okay? And while I'm from Michigan, like Ryan, don't hold that against me. I went to Central. I married a girl who is a relation that's a heart horn, and so yes, Brian and Carolyn are my uncle and aunt, at least through marriage. So you can complain to him if you really are annoyed with my preaching this morning. Okay, he'll own it for us this morning. But as we begin to look at God's word this morning, let's open up with a word of prayer, if you would. Let's ask for God to bless the reading of our word this morning. Father in heaven, we know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and that it is a light unto our path. We just ask that as we open your word, that we would use it as our teacher, that love would lead us, as well as your truth, in building our life upon your love, your firm foundation, and your righteousness. In Jesus' name and for his namesake, we pray. Amen. You know, I just have to say, I love baby screams and cries. Don't you just love that sound? I'm not hearing enough. It never bothers me to have a baby cry because that means that the church is growing. Amen. It's a good thing. So, sorry for my little tangent there. Okay, so let's go to a different topic this morning. Some of you might have been watching basketball, but my team wasn't playing, and my bracket was already busted. So I turned on something else. I turned on the NCAA wrestling that was happening. There were some good matches. I know it might not show, but I was a high school wrestler at one time. And I can tell you now, I wrestled a weight class that I didn't really ever have to worry about stepping on the scale. But I can tell you that for a lot of my friends, a lot of my fellow wrestlers, stepping on that scale was quite scary. Just like it's quite scary when we go to the doctor for that annual physical, and we get ready to go, and we try to manipulate the scale, don't we? Don't tell me you don't try to manipulate the scale. I didn't eat breakfast today that I was going to the doctor. I don't think that that half a pound is really going to matter, but I'm going to do it. Do you take off your shoes? Yeah. Oh, I got a sweatshirt on. What do? I take off the sweatshirt. Every little bit counts. And then you step on the scale, and I have this habit of, you know, people will hold their breath. I make sure that I push my breath out first. And then what do? You shift your weight. That doesn't look right. But what's the actual truth? The scale does not what? Lie. The scale doesn't lie. It measures how much gravity affects our body, how much we are pushing down. Okay? But everywhere in life, we approach things with measurements, with scales. Okay? Some type of scale. We measure our social media posts by the number of likes we get, or your Instagram. We measure maybe our bank account by the number of zeros that are there, and hopefully they're not at the beginning of your bank account, correct? We also sometimes try to measure our righteousness, friends. We try to measure our righteousness. We say, well, I've got to even out the scale. I think I'm a good person. I do more good things than I do bad things. I help my neighbor walk across the street. I paid it forward at McDonald's this week. I'm a good person. But what's the reality? The reality is that we are not truly that good people that we are. Or we do the other thing. Not just only do I good do things, but I'm not as bad as that person. I'm not as bad as a Iowa State fan. I'm not as bad as a Ohio State fan. Right, Ryan? Wherever he is.
That's right.
Well, he knows that I'm Maize and Blue. He knows I'm Maize and Blue, so he knows I'm good. So, but also, we have more than that. Because we'll say, I'm not as bad as Hitler. I'm not as bad as Hussein. But the reality is that we cannot and should not measure in that way, because the ultimate measuring bar, the ultimate scale, is going to be God's scale of righteousness. And the fact is, friends, that all of us, no matter who we are, aside from our Lord and Savior, and amen for Him, we are going to fall short. Our good deeds aren't going to balance the scale. But the only one who can is God. So this morning, we're going to look a little bit at how the scale goes and balancing the scale. But let's look at our scripture for the morning. Feel free to pull out your Bibles or to follow along on the screen. We're going to be in the letter to the church at Rome this morning, beginning at verse 9 of chapter 3, and we'll read through to verse 20. And I'm reading from the ESV, English Standard Version. There might be a few little kinks and tinks and little things that are different, but for the most part, you're going to find the scripture to be similar this morning. So it says this in the book that we love. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged all that all. Both Jews and Greeks are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and mercy. In the way of peace they have not known or known not. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Here ends our reading this morning. Thanks be to God for his wonderful and his perfect word. So as we look at this scripture today, and I'm going to just say this, if there is an error on the screen, do not blame Mike, okay? It's probably me not telling him to get ahead, okay? So I know that also I am Reformed. I was an RCA boy from Southwest Michigan. And so what does that mean? I'm supposed to have 3 points, right? Some of the older ones are kind of laughing about that. You're not going to have 3 points today. Okay, we're going to have 6 points today, but they're going to be lined up in two sections. The first one is that we don't measure up. Why don't we measure up? We don't measure up first because we turn away from God. We turn away from God. What's the context of our scripture this morning? Paul is writing to the church in Rome. If we remember, Paul is an apostle. Paul was a tent maker. But Paul, kind of what we know him for, is being a pastor and planting churches. He would plant a church and then he'd go and he would travel and plant another one. But he would keep in contact with the churches through letters. And in this church at Rome, we have two different kinds of people. We have Gentiles and we have Jews. The Gentiles, of course, being somewhat pagan. Then the Jews being Jewish, upholding or trying to uphold the law. But what we see here is a broken righteousness on both sides. Okay? Why do we see a broken righteousness on both sides? Because the Gentiles can be written up, so to speak, can be cited because they are pagan. Okay? They do not follow any commandments, or did not follow any commandments, alone that they probably didn't even follow the Ten Commandments. They might have not even known what the Ten Commandments were. But they clearly did not follow the 613 laws that the Israelites did. How many of us know the 613 laws? Ryan, you would. Because he can also say the number of books. I'm sorry, Ryan, I shouldn't have called you out on that one, right? But I can tell you I don't know the 613 laws. Does it matter to me? Not right now. But it certainly didn't matter to those Gentile pagans in Rome. Okay? They didn't necessarily know the Ten Commandments, but they also definitely wouldn't have worried about circumcision. And let's be honest, if you're an older man and you have not been circumcised, that's not something that you're probably looking to do real quick. Okay? I'm sorry, women. Will you just let me have that one this morning? But they were against God, and they did not follow God, even though they had a reason to know of God, because God reveals himself not only through his word, but also through nature. They followed different gods. They were not righteous. But also Paul is telling this church in Rome, you Jews, of which he was or is, we don't have a corner on the market of righteousness. And why? Because they have the law, and they, while they try to follow it, they can't do it perfectly. And unless you follow the law absolutely perfectly, you're not going to be righteous. You cannot be righteous. Because our God is what? He's a holy God. He's a just God. And so that means that you've got to uphold all of those laws, which they can't do. Because we are people that are filled with sin. And I love the babies here this morning, once again, but even our children, whom we love dearly, aren't righteous either. We know we as if we're older, we should likely know that we aren't righteous because of what we've done. And our kids aren't either. Goes back, you can find it in the scriptures, but also it's in the Belgic Confession, Article 14. Okay? Belgic Confession, it says this: for they transgressed the commandment of life which they had received, and by their sin, they separated themselves from God, who was their true life, having corrupted their entire nature. So they made themselves guilty and subject to physical and spiritual death, having become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all their ways, have they lost their excellent gifts with which they had received from God and retained none of them except for small traces, which are enough for them to make them inexcusable, without excuse. We have turned from God. Saying, Pastor Mike or Mike Holloman, I haven't turned from God. Oh, yes, we have. Unfortunately, we have. We've turned from God. But not only have we turned from God, but we also speak evil as well. We speak evil. Okay? When we have turned away from God, ultimately, it's going to leak out through our words. Okay? It's going to leak out through our words. I've got a proverb for you. Proverbs 26, 24 through 27. It says this: whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his hearts. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. Okay? So, what are we saying here? What are we starting to... How do we start to interpret that? We turn from God, and ultimately that turning is going to show in how we speak. Okay? Righteousness, faith, is not taught often, but it is caught. Okay? And if you don't think that our words affect, just ask a parent whose child has repeated a phrase that they don't want them to repeat. Correct? Yup. Yup. They never seem to remember the I loves you or I love you. They seem to remember the times when we were less charitable. I'm going to date myself a little bit by mentioning this, but there's a movie starring Sandra Bullock. I think it was in the early or 2000s, somewhere in there. And Miss Congeniality, you know that movie, Miss Congeniality? She plays an undercover FBI agent, and she's kind of a tomboy. And she is trying to go under the Miss America pageant, and she is talking, you know, in the Miss America pageant, they ask them these questions. And then they ask her a question about, like, what she has grown or learned from the experience. And at one point, she gives a very, very poignant response. And this is part of what she says. She says, I mean, I know we all secretly hope the other one will trip and fall on her face. But wait a minute, I've already done that. That's kind of where we are too. We turn away from God and we begin to think about speaking evil. And if you don't think that, sometimes we might be lying to ourselves, okay? We do this so often, we might think it, but Gracie Hart, in that moment, is speaking out that evil. Speaking what's in their heart. Okay? We turn away from God. We speak evil. But we also practice evil. Pastor Mike, I don't practice evil. Unfortunately, yes, we do. Let's look at Psalm 1, 1 and 2. It says this: blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. Could you leave this psalm up for just a second, please? Okay, let's look at this together for a moment. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So what's that first stage of evil? You're in the presence of evil, correct? Bad company corrupts good character. You're in the counsel of the wicked, you're not around it. Okay? Then they do what? They stand in the way of sinners. Okay? They're walking with them. They're not just in the presence, but they're standing by them. It's going through to them. They're catching it. Until finally, what? They're sitting in the seat. It gets further and further ingrained. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. We practice evil. We practice evil. We need to watch our thoughts. We need to watch where we're turning away from God. And when we speak ill, because it leads us to something that we might not be able to get back from. Okay, so Mike, we talked about how we don't measure up this morning. We turn away from God, we speak evil, and we practice evil, and we know we have a broken righteousness. That's the big idea this morning, is that we have a broken righteousness. Our best is never good enough, but He is. Amen? Caught you sleeping there. Is He good enough? Yes, He is. I'm sorry, I'm a little Pentecostal this morning. Okay? Our best is never good enough, but He is. So what then shall we do knowing that we don't measure up? Okay? Let me ask you this question. How many of us, when we decide to go on a diet, step on the scale? How effective is that diet? How effective is it? It's my favorite diet I've ever been on. Because there's no accountability. I can eat whatever I want. But the reality is what? Is that the diet is only going to be effective if I or somebody else is holding me accountable. That's why a lot of people, when they go to the gym, they get a trainer, right? A trainer is able to hold them accountable. We need to start looking and holding ourselves accountable about this broken righteousness. We need to get on that scale of God's every so often. I'm saying this in love, okay? We need to step on that scale. We can't compare ourselves to the Idi Amins, to the Khomeinis, to the worst people that we've ever found, but we need to start looking at ourselves in comparison to our own self, measuring ourselves against our own righteousness, and then remembering what God's righteousness looks like. Because if we start to say, well, I'm better than this person, or I'm worse than this person, it's not effective. Amen? Okay? Why is it not effective? Because the only scale that matters is the one that God has. So we got to hold ourselves accountable. Now, I'm not saying be obsessive compulsive about that and jump on the scale of God's righteousness every day, because that could lead us down a path that makes us disheartened. Okay? But it's good for us to look back to God and say, how are we growing? How are we doing in the context of that righteousness? It's like recalibrating. How many of you like your GPS, correct? Gabby, recalculating. You know, if you'd be driven nuts if she said that every 5 seconds, correct? But if you need a correction, it's wonderful to have it. We need to humbly look to God. We need to humbly grow based on that. Romans 6, 1 through 4 says this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue without that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died without still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, we too might walk in newness of life. So we're starting to change. We're starting to change, and that's because we've turned towards God. What's the second thing that we need to do? The second thing that we need to do is that we rely on God. We hold ourselves accountable and we rely on God because we can't do it on our own. The only one who was sinless in this life was Jesus Christ, who was 100% divine and 100% human. And please don't ask me to explain that. Go ask Pastor Ryan how to explain that. But what I do know is that it's something that I believe. Okay? And we might not know the answer this side of eternity. But what we do need to do is we need to rely on God. There's kind of a little bit of a joke in the Holloman family. I know Brian and Carolyn might know kind of this story about me and my family, maybe not. But let me tell you this. I don't have trouble finding meals. Okay? And I often will be thinking about a meal two or three meals in advance. Do you do that? I'm seeing some people going, yep. If I know that I'm making burgers for dinner and I'm over at McDonald's, well, let's be honest, I shouldn't go to McDonald's. I like Wendy's better. Let's say Wendy's, okay? Because Wendy's has the Coke Freestyle machine, okay? If I know that I'm having burgers, what am I not going to get at Wendy's? I'm not going to get a burger. Come on. I'm going to get chicken nuggets. I'm going to get a chicken sandwich. I'm going to get something different. I'm focused on things too much ahead of time. Okay? How many of us are waiting for the next quick fix? We're focused on the wrong thing. We need to rely on God. How many of us are so focused on the next place to get the next fad, or I cannot wait till my next drop of Netflix series. What's the one that my wife and I watch all the time? And I know that some of you men are going to say, really, Mike, you watch that show? Sweet Magnolias. Okay? I got some girls laughing now. Right? Or you're waiting for it to drop, and you're so focused on that. You're so focused on the score. But what we need to do is not rely on the things of this world that are not going to find us or give us that satisfaction. We need to rely on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the only way that we can do that is to completely turn it over to God. No holding back. Okay? If I am going to accept Jesus wholeheartedly in my hands, I can't be holding on to anything, correct? Correct? If we're holding on to Jesus, we can't have something in my hands. I can't be holding on to food. I can't be holding on to love. I can't be holding on to some kind of sin. I got to fully let go and embrace God. We fully rely on God. The last thing that we need to do is that we should start to practice spiritual disciplines, okay? Spiritual disciplines can be and are a good thing. We should strive to be more like God. Okay? What do we see in the scriptures? We see Jesus practices those. He practices things like solitude. Quite often after he heals somebody, you'll see him go back on the mountainside to pray. Prayer is a great spiritual discipline, reading your Bible. But the thing is that we cannot let these spiritual disciplines get us back into a place of where we think that it's earning us our righteousness, because it's never going to get you there. The only thing that is going to get you there is a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by letting him take control of your entire life. Okay? Serving others is a great thing as long as we're doing it to the Lord. Okay? With a grateful heart because of what he has done, not because we're trying to measure, not because we're trying to say, I got to get one up. We're not coming to church because we need to check the box. We're coming to church because as a deer pants for streams of living water, our souls pant for you, O God. Amen? Okay? We're not about practicing the disciplines as a means of getting better. We practice the spiritual disciplines because we get closer to Christ. And that needs to be our ultimate goal. Because our best is never going to be good enough, but God is. So take that broken righteousness, realize that it's our best is never going to be enough, but turn it over to him. And so here's my big challenge for you this morning. Okay? Step off our broken scale of our righteousness and step in to the grace of Jesus. Okay? Our best is never going to be good enough, but he is. Step off that scale of righteousness. And I don't know what you've been using as your scale. Marking down that I'm at Cornerstone Church every day. I volunteer at the well once a week. You know, Pastor Mike, 5 out of 6, 7 days this week, I got my Bible studies done. Great. Great. But have you let Jesus come from here to here? That's the question Ryan's concerned about. Amen? That's the question that you and I need to be concerned about. Not the I's dotted, the T's crossed. Make sure that you're stepping off the scale of your broken righteousness, because our best is never good enough. Fall into Jesus' grace and submit to him wholeheartedly. Stop trying. Jesus is going to step on the scale and you're going to be found righteous. Okay? Stop trying to balance the scale on your own. Step into grace. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you once again for sending your son to die for us. Father, I thank you and I praise you for a wonderful and beautiful Savior. We thank you that you have paid it all. And Father, we just pray this morning that if there's somebody here that's sitting here that's feeling far from you, or maybe they said, God, I've been going through the motions and I don't want to continue going through the motions. Father, I ask that you'd break open their hearts, fill them with your grace and your mercy. Direct them towards Ryan, direct them towards an elder, direct them towards your cross and your mercy, where they can grow and be forgiven. Father, be with us this week as we go. Help us to cast all our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. Amen.